Do you know someone who has had an abortion? Find out next on Gospel of Life, ways that you can lead them to hope and healing. Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Gospel of Life. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. And today we have with us Janet Morana, our Associate Director, and Dr. Teresa Burke, who has founded Rachel's Vineyard Ministries, a retreat program for those wounded by abortion. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
And let's talk about this marvelous source of hope for the church, for people who have been wounded. Teresa, you've done a lot of research and writing about the trauma of abortion. A lot of people think about the choice of abortion or the procedure of abortion and don't know anything about the trauma of abortion. We want to talk about that trauma to some extent. You've written your book, Forbidden Grief. We've had an entire program about that here on our Gospel of Life series. But today we're going to talk even more about what steps we take, especially if there's a friend, a relative, a member of the congregation, a coworker that we know has had an abortion, and we wonder, what can we do for them? Tell us what we can do for them.
I think the first place to start is to educate yourself about the wound, to understand that it's deep, it's profound, that it's unspeakable. And when we understand that, we can understand the reluctance of people to reach out for help, their fears of shame, their fears of judgment by other people. And when we have a good comprehension of that, we're able to reach out with compassion, with mercy, and no judgments. And I think that being able to talk about this issue is a number one first place to start, because a lot of times I think people are afraid to talk about it. It's forbidden grief, as we shared on the other program. But because it generates so much anxiety, so much fear in the people, it does make it difficult to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Why would someone feel like, oh, I went to my pastor, I spoke to him about my abortion, he told me Jesus forgave me? What further thing can a retreat do for someone like that? You know, if the pastor thinks, well, they came to me, I spoke to them, I told them about the Lord's forgiveness, they seem okay, but yet they're not okay. What does the retreat do for them that takes them that extra step?
Well, the retreat is a very specific process for grief work. I have this saying I like to say, is that until the grief is emptied, there's no room for the grace that Jesus wants to give us in his forgiveness and his mercy. And so Rachel's Vineyard retreats are designed to facilitate that grief work, to help them make a connection to the lost child, and to forgive themselves and those other people that were involved. And I think this issue of forgiving self is really important, because a lot of people have the intellectual awareness that God forgives them. They know that, they believe that, but they can't forgive themselves. And so the forgiveness comes after they're allowed to grieve and allowed to love. And that's what the retreat gives them, an experience of loving their child.
Mm-hmm. Grief can be defined as the process of adjusting to a loss, right? And seems to me the big problem here is that until the child is recognized as real, and you acknowledge, I have lost my child. My child not only died, but I killed my child. I was responsible for that process. That, how can you adjust to a loss when you don't even acknowledge the loss? You know there's something wrong. But this process of this retreat then very much involves personalizing that child, doesn't it?
Sure, it does. There's a whole process that we go through, beginning with asking Jesus for what you want. And we accomplish this through living scripture exercises. And living scripture is basically reenacting the scriptures of Jesus, where Jesus came to the blind man and said, what do you want me to do for you? Mm-hmm. He didn't assume what Bartimaeus wanted, he asked him. And so as we recreate these biblical stories, Jesus is present to us in the Word and through the Word, and we bring that Word to life incarnationally through each other, through the process.
So in other words, the people are sitting around together and the Scripture is read.
We read it and then we go through a meditation,
right,
where you're blind Bartimaeus. And then we actually act it out, where the facilitator would come to a participant and say, take courage, he's calling you. And then the person would be invited to say, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And then the clergy present, the pastor, places his hand on her head and says, what do you want me to do for you? He's standing in the place of Jesus. And then she pours out her prayer from her heart. Rachel's Vineyard is so powerful because it removes the middleman. We bring people into a direct, intimate, personal experience with Jesus Christ through all the scriptures. So we reenact the woman at the well. We reenact the story of Lazarus. They name the parts of themselves that have died because of sin. Mm-hmm. And symbolically, we'll place a gauze wrapping to signify that death. This is very powerful because you're taking something that's invisible and unspoken, a deep wounding. You know, maybe they've been unable to love or trust again because of their abortion experience. And so they'll say, my heart's just broken. So we'll place a wrapping across their heart. Maybe they feel powerless as a result of the trauma to move ahead in life, or they feel paralyzed in some way. You know, all the scriptures of people that Jesus ministered to, he would always say at the end of it, your faith has saved you. And so the living scriptures are an opportunity to express that faith, to reach out, to touch the cloak of Christ when we reenact the hemorrhaging woman. And they're just beautiful exercises to invite the Lord's light into your heart, into the deepest recesses of your heart, where you've buried all these memories and feelings away. And as the retreat progresses, then they develop a spiritual relation or awareness of their child, their child's life. And that's a very powerful moment because you need to reconcile not only with yourself, not only with God, but with that child.
And you've been on these retreats, yes, Janet, as have I.
Yeah, and I've seen that, you know, where I've had girls come to me on Friday night all nervous and anxious about what's going to happen during this retreat. And I've had girls even say to me, well, I know I killed my baby, but I don't know what my baby is, a boy or a girl. I don't think I could ever name it. And we always say, oh, don't worry, let the process begin. And it's so miraculous that as they go, like you're saying, through these living scriptures, and we get to Saturday later in the day when they're, you know, they finally tell their story and they get over all that, by Saturday night, they're able to name their child. I mean, I myself was like an unbeliever at first. I thought, well, this is never going to happen. But when I experienced the retreat process and saw everyone, there was maybe 12 girls on the retreat, everyone, when they got to that point, was able to, the Lord put a name on their heart for their child. And it was just miraculous to see that unfold. And it's kind of like the peace that they felt at that moment when that name was put upon their heart. And they light a candle and they put it in the font of water. And it just, for me, was so amazing. If you asked me if that was going to happen on Friday night, Teresa, I would have said, absolutely not, no way. And I saw it from my own eyes. I believed it by the experience and seeing it, you know.
Well, each step builds to the climax, which is where you do develop a sense of your child's life. And that life had great meaning. So one of the journey that they embark on is reflecting on the meaning of their child's life. And this is an interesting thought to ponder, because most of their thoughts and their obsessions and their nightmares are about their child's death. But our children have life in Christ, that they were created in the image and likeness of God, and we're able to honor them and ultimately to love them, because there's nothing that breaks a parent's heart more than the rejection of their child. And so through some of the other activities on the retreat, they're able to embrace that child, to express the love. They write letters to the children that they've lost. Mm-hmm. We have bereavement dolls even that we use as a symbol of their child's life. And this is, it might sound funny to a viewer watching, but very therapeutic to be able to cradle these babies just in a physical way, that you can manifest the love and the tenderness that you really would naturally feel toward any children that you have.
Seems to me what's happening here is that they're given a confidential setting with other people who have also been through abortion, in which the pain that they feel now can be expressed in a way that they usually can't do in their day-to-day life with their family. They don't want to bring it up. Their friends at work might laugh at them. You know, oh, what is the big deal about an abortion? You did what you had to do. You had your choice. Now we'll move on with your life. And it's this illusion that you can just move on with your life without any consequences that leaves many of them in silence. But it's a beautiful setting. Others are there. They feel that acceptance. They feel the acceptance of the church. And this is something that is expressed by so many people. In fact, the two of you are with our friend Gwen Johns from Amarillo, Texas. And she's one of the many Rachel's Vineyard facilitators, isn't she, around the country, around the world. Right. She runs these retreats there, and she herself has been through an abortion.
That's right.
And we interviewed her recently.
Interviewed her, and she's going to tell us about, first of all, how she felt after her abortion, how it affected herself personally, her relationship with God, her family, mm-hmm. and then her involvement, of course, at Rachel's Vineyard and her healing.
Yeah, well, let's listen to that clip now from Gwen Johns.
If you saw somebody standing in the street, and I mean, it doesn't even have to be a child, it can be an adult, and you see a semi coming, or maybe that person's deaf or blind, would you not run out there and try to help them? Or would you stand back and just watch? Because post-abortive women like myself self-destruct, and we do things to ourselves that are not meant to be done. We hurt ourselves because we have so much pain. You know, I was trying to come closer to Jesus, and I didn't know what was blocking me. There was just something blocking me in my life that I couldn't get past anger. I couldn't get past this pain. I couldn't get past the feeling so shameful and guilty always, and I didn't know what it was. You know, I'm always beating myself up that I wasn't a good enough mom. Every little thing. You know, and just frustrations of those early years of motherhood. And Father James just asked me one time in confession, I mean, he just looked at me and said, "When have you had an abortion?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I've confessed that already, you know what?" And he's like, "No, I see a pattern. I see, you know, those patterns, and it's post-traumatic stress and the reenactment things and all the things I did that I didn't understand, that it was my behavior because of I hadn't dealt with that issue, that baby. I hadn't reconciled with that." You know, you can confess it all you want. If you don't actually look it in the face and reconcile it, I mean, you can't go on. I think for most of us that are post-abortive, even if we do end up coming back to church, we never really feel welcome in church. We always feel like we have this big scarlet letter A on our forehead. Bam. And so we sit in the little pews trying to act perfect. So we cover up with, you know, maybe over-perfectionism or exteriors trying to look like this perfect person in this world of hurt inside. I just want everyone to feel the healing and experience what God gave me back. You know, because he gave it back to me. He gave me my life back. I'm a better mom, a better wife. Not perfect, better. More whole. And when I reach out to these girls, I just tell them, God has such a gift for you. There's so much love for you. All you have to do is open it. And I just challenge them. Just give them a chance. Of course, I always give them I'll give you money back, which we don't even charge at our retreats. But I always guarantee them that if you're not better by Sunday, I'll pay you. You know, if God hasn't done something marvelous in your life by Sunday, I'll make up a weekend for you somehow. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get him there.
Well, Gwen has certainly expressed there both the difficulties that a person goes through when they've had these abortions, and also the help that Rachel's Vineyard gives.
That's right. I mean, I think the key thing that she was saying there, too, is because many people feel like, pastors will say, well, I don't think any women in my congregation have had an abortion. And you hear by what Gwen said, we're sitting there and we're just feeling like not welcomed or you don't understand us. Or, you know, they think like they have that scarlet A all over them. And the pastors are just not even recognizing it. So I hope this helps pastors realize that you need to talk about this issue more in the churches so that the women can feel that there is hope, there is healing, and make their way to a Rachel's Vineyard.
Well, the retreats are available all over the United States of America. There'll probably be 450 retreats this coming year. And it's spread to 17 countries. And it's mostly spread by people who Jesus has so profoundly healed them in the deepest place that they never thought possible. And they're the ones initiating the growth of this. So many of the retreats are led by post-abortive women themselves. There's always a professional counselor on the retreat and a pastor and a team of, interested people to help. So
and they can be of whatever faith background. This is not just for one denomination or another. These retreats are
they're sponsored by many different churches throughout the United States. So the ministry is a beautiful outreach, and it's hard to bring up the subject when you can't point to a solution. So right. Between all the retreats offered all over the United States, practically every state, there's a lot of hope for healing.
Well, you have a website that they can go to where they can see where are the upcoming retreats in their location. And there's also a hotline number if someone is hurting and wants to at least initially call someone, and talk to someone, they can call the hotline number. And I think more importantly, if they look on that website and they don't see a retreat team in their area, well, their church family, if they're interested in getting a retreat team started with their pastor, if they contact you, we'll help make that happen.
We'll train them and equip them to do a very responsible, very beautiful ministry. We have mentors that can come and run their first retreat, train up their team, but it's just a beautiful ministry. I don't think it would be spreading this fast if there wasn't something very powerful and wonderful about being engaged in such work.
And it's not only the mothers of the aborted children, it's the fathers as well, isn't it?
Fathers come, also siblings and grandparents. I mean, when your daughter's had an abortion, you've lost a grandchild, and they need a place to heal and grieve also. And abortion providers who have been involved in this industry and bear that grief and that pain in their heart, the guilt,
The retreat is helpful. The retreat is powerful. Obviously, we're not saying it's a magical solution, because together with the retreat opportunity, there is aftercare, as you call it. There is opportunity always for one-on-one and personal individual attention and counseling, and Rachel's Vineyard offers that too.
The retreat is what many women call the marking point of when their life started to turn around. It's a changing where they're going one direction away from God, and this brings them back, heading back. And as we know, conversion is a lifelong process. We're always identifying areas that we want to grow closer to Christ.
Well, thanks. We look forward to continuing to promote this retreat program and the healing of Jesus. And thanks, Janet, also. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for now what you can do to lead friends, relatives, members of your church, and others to the healing and hope of the gospel. We're not talking here about anything different than the gospel of Jesus Christ and its healing power. We're simply creating an opportunity through Rachel's Vineyard for people to come in touch with the only source of hope, the only source of forgiveness, the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on Calvary and that continues to bathe the world in his mercy. So speak about Rachel's Vineyard, go to our website, and stay with us now for our action segment.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You Can Save Someone's Life Today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, You Can Save Someone's Life Today are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back to help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, you can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. Thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wilde, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospelOfLife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
Welcome, my friends, to our action segment. The Silent No More Awareness Campaign has a lot of concrete resources and products that you can use to spread the message that abortion harms women and that women do regret their abortion. Janet, tell us about some of these products.
Well, first of all, we have a brochure called, you know, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and that's available at gospelOfLife.com through our website or call our toll-free number, 888-735-3448. We'll be happy to send them that brochure, which describes the campaign. It has some quotes from women who've had abortions. It lists just some of the many resources that are up on our website and also gives them, obviously, the website and some hotline numbers for post-abortion healing.
It's actually good for book racks in churches and also in Christian bookstores to have some of those brochures on
hand.
That's
right. So we're really asking everyone, please contact us and get the message out of the campaign through that brochure. Sure. But then in addition, we have products that have the phrase, women do regret abortion. Now, when you think about that phrase, women do regret abortion, that's going to do a lot of things. It's going to, first of all, help people who have experienced abortion, who are still in denial, to say, wait a minute, there's someone out who's starting to have my feelings. They'll identify with that phrase, and that will help them take those first steps to healing. But also, too, if there's a girl who's considering an abortion, if they hear that phrase, women do regret abortion, that's going to help stop them maybe from going down that road. So that's what the message of this product does. Women do regret abortion will help in twofold. And we have T-shirts with the message on it. We've created envelope stickers. You know, in every piece of mail that you send out, you can put that women do regret abortion envelope sticker.
sticker right there on the front in the lower left-hand corner. You know, everyone sees it, from the mailman to anyone who handles that piece of mail. Then in addition, we have bumper stickers for the cars that say women do regret abortion, but we even have them in a magnetic form, because very often people have a brand new car. They don't want to put those adhesive kind of stickers on their car. Well, we have the women do regret abortion in a magnetic sticker for their car. And then finally, static stickers. At my home, you know, a lot of people have a storm door to their home, and I put a static sticker with that message right on my door, so everyone coming to my house gets that message: women do regret abortion. And then, of course, finally, we have the butterfly pin, which is the symbol of the campaign, the butterfly saying that once was a caterpillar into a cocoon, locked in that chain, but once they get that healing and forgiveness, they soar like a butterfly. And we invite the people to order the butterfly pin from us also.
It's amazing how simple products like this can end up bringing people to Christ.
That's
because
right.
When it's precisely the pain and the despair that comes after an abortion that will often wake a person up to say, I need a Savior.
Right.
I cannot save myself. I cannot fix my own problems. This was a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
And by the simple message that comes in these T-shirts and bumper stickers and all these other things, people can actually end up coming to saving knowledge of Christ.
That's right. We also have a bookmark. We'd like to see all the schools and youth groups use. And then finally, we have a billboard. And that billboard design has Jennifer O'Neill's picture, our national spokesperson, saying, I regret my abortion. If you do too, there's help. There's a hotline number on our website. Come and try to get that billboard up in your community, because we know babies' lives are saved and women and men are brought to healing just by that message.
And Jennifer has a book out on this whole topic too, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. It's called You're Not Alone. And it's a great thing to give to someone who you know has had an abortion but just isn't quite ready to enter a program of healing. Jennifer, in her book, lets you walk the walk with her, and that person will begin to identify with Jennifer O'Neill's pain and hopefully bring them to healing.
Well, thanks, Janet, for everything you do for the campaign, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on Gospel of Life. We rely on the financial support of people like you to get these campaigns going and to reach millions upon millions of people across our country who need to hear the gospel of mercy and forgiveness. So please consider Gospel of Life Ministries as you plan your financial giving for the kingdom of God. Also, visit our website, gospeloflife.com, in order to listen to our programs online. If you don't get these programs or your friends or relatives don't get them by television, then by all means, listen to them on the website. You can also call in and possibly be on the show. If you have comments, if you have questions, if you have objections, if you want us to air your testimony, send us an email or give us a call and leave us a message, and we just might call you back to have you on a future Gospel of Life program. We're grateful to Life Dynamics Incorporated in Denton, Texas, for the use of their studios as we produce these programs each week. And please do spread the word to your family and friends and join us next week on Gospel of Life. Meanwhile, God bless you all.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank, and I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospelOfLife.com or email us at info@gospelOfLife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.